Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, folks? It's a Utah Buyer Sellers Club of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. It is I am here. You can follow me on the Twitterverse, as always, at Who Trusts Superman, H-U-U-T-R-E-N Superman. Also, you follow the Jazz High Notes count. That's Jazz at Jazz High Notes, number two. We also did get a pretty famous jazz fan joined Twitter recently, and that started a little fall train. So that's at Utah Jazz History. And I'm here, in studio. He'll probably be in studio way more often. He highlights the highlighters for the high sports. From the highlighter highlights, of course, Alma Bean, at Alma Bean 23. What's up, man?
You know, just living the dream.
Living the dream, Alma Bean.
Yes, sir.
He does the distance, drives that bus 49 times. His 49ers in the playoffs, actually. What's up, Jarrett Barker?
Not much. My host with the most, compadre.
There we go. Lots of rhyming. Lots of Dr. Seuss going on this way. And you know what we believe in. We believe in the Believe Network, and we're sponsored by Bet Online. With NFL playoffs right around the corner and the NBA season in full swing, Bet Online has you covered with all the up to the second odds, news, and scores. With additional odds, lines, trends, and info on both desktop and mobile, you can access the world's best wagering information anytime. Head there today to get in on the action and see all the updated odds. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. I decide when I have to read stuff, I need to just really read slower. So the people out there who are listening on 1.5 times, 2 times, don't shoot their brains out because of how fast I talk.
So. Getting a little bit of the Tasmanian devil going on.
So that was.
You should hear David Locke on double speed, man. It does make me want to blow my brains out.
We don't say that here. We don't say that here. So.
Oh yeah. We don't recognize actually, him here. He just hears footsteps.
Yep, he hears us coming. He hears the footsteps. Dave locked him. We'll get a shout out later in the show though. So a tragic day, in Jazzland, the Jazz were supposed to. We're recording this Wednesday, January 17th. The Jazz were supposed to play the Warriors today. Postponed, obviously. With the passing of the Warriors' assistant coach, Dejan Milojevic. So, Coach Milojevic passing away in Salt Lake early Wednesday morning. Very sad, very tragic. And so, obviously, condolences from Hitting the High Notes. Really sad day. It was one of these weird things to kind of wake up to. We saw a lot of, tweets out there from one of our own, including, just talking about, oh, it's weird. As a medical emergency was announced. I don't want to say a friend, but I know somebody on Twitter was like, oh, trying to make a joke. And I was like, well, guys, let's hold off a second here. We all have social media.
Mm-hmm.
It's microblogging. Alma, as I said, you being an intern, in the journalistic world, you're learning about journalism and, you have to write articles. I mean, you posted something from, on the Hive today, mm-hmm. about it. But you probably have to wait until you get enough information before you start writing something, and posting something.
Yeah. When I went ahead and started putting things together, I went ahead and I was like, okay, what can I say? What can't I say? So pretty much anything that was out there from official sources was free game. So I was kind of treading lightly as I was going out. To be honest, I was actually just collecting information about his playing and coaching career, mm-hmm. because good filler. It's something I know is a guaranteed thing I can write about. and even with rumored sources like from Woj, saying that the incident went ahead and happened at a private team dinner for coaches. So I was like, okay, I can go ahead and write about that. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that there was a medical emergency and it happened in Salt Lake City, I was like, okay, we can go ahead and include that. And I'm putting in links from the tweets showing that everything's verified. But weirdly enough, as I was finishing it up and just going to put it out there, I went ahead and published the article, and not even a minute later, we went ahead and found out about his passing. So I even had to go in there and just put an update because, I mean, I didn't want my work to go
to waste.
For nothing.
Yeah. And so,
but at the same time, like, I still wanted to go ahead and pay my respects. So, like, I still wanted to list all of the accomplishments that he went ahead and had, and especially, like, with his first.
And this is it's such a
You good? You doing okay?
Jared dying back there.
No, that's my roommate's weed cough.
Okay.
Is he okay?
No, he's just got a cold and a weed cough.
Breaking up the somber moment here. But yeah, so like it was just kind of a weird day for jazz fans to start off the day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say anybody was like just super rude or disrespectful, but it was one of the things that we all own our own microblogs now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm a jazz Azin. It was like saying, this is such a weird, like, I don't have the exact tweet, but he was talking about, like, I mean, you know, that's, they shouldn't be, you know, canceling games for, you know, whatever. Like, I think he might have said it might have been COVID or something, you know.
And I think it was even mentioned that it was, like, just an assistant coach.
Yeah. So, and we saw a lot of that. And then, you know, Jazz Nation, Jazz Lead. I like these, you know, I don't want to say, like, I don't even follow them, but their tweets come up, and I think they're useful sometimes. But they made it all very centered of the universe for the Jazz. And when it comes out that the assistant coach has passed away, it looks kind of foolish. And I guess the only reason I'm going on this rant is that, like, you know, we should all take a little bit of extra time before we tweet. Or you know, before, you know, we all have a lot of power because, you know, we can put thoughts out there. Hey, guy, you know, I'm two thumbs pointing at this guy. You know, I run two Twitter accounts. I have like 10,000 plus tweets. You know, 9,999 of those are pretty asinine thoughts I have. The only reason I have Twitter is so when I die, you guys can read through my tweets and laugh. yeah, so just kind of a weird day for, you know, that was the morning of Jazz Land to be like, guys, you know, so, you know, there were times when I'm like tweeting people, I'm like, hey, maybe delete this tweet because, I mean, someone tweeted something in a little bad taste, and I don't know if he had seen the guy had passed away, but at this point, I'm like, he had a medical emergency, you know, and they're like, oh, this guy's just an assistant coach. Like, what are they doing? And I'm like, it's like, he's a human being. So, you know, it's a bad tweet. Delete it, you know. And I think he eventually did, so that was good. But yeah, so just one of those, like, you know, be very wary of the power we have, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You know, if you still Facebook, I still use Facebook. I'm old, so. That's, you know, I'm sorry to center of the universe Jazz, but that's what we're doing on this podcast.
94-year-old Blue Tran is still finishing up his rant.
Yep.
I'm kidding. So, not a rant. It's more like a.
Yes, that's kind of a rant. But
words of wisdom. Words of wisdom.
Because again, like, they are still people,
yeah,
and no, they have friends, families, and they are very well respected, whether you know their name or not. So they should be treated as such.
Sometimes I, like, for me, like, I am, the Jazz are not like a top five personality trait for me, and that's probably why it makes this podcast work because I have Alma's here. Logan comes on, Jake comes on, Jared comes on. These guys, you know, Jazz are probably a little more important part of their lives. And so it helps balance me because, you know, it's good to have, I think, that kind of balance there. So, so that was a sad. So the Jazz game gets postponed, obviously for good reason. So the Jazz now turn their, because it's got to be hard for, you know, the Jazz players, like, oh boy, like, you know, maybe, I don't know if they knew him very well, but somebody in the NBA family.
Honestly, thoughts go out to his family, man. That's rough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
his wife and two kids, right?
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and just from what I understood, he was at the dinner with the team, like, not just the staff. So
yeah, like
it's got a. Yep.
I think Sertan had a very good tweet about it. Basically, like, you know, we all know it's a, you know, they still have a job to do. It sucks because, like, I mean, like, they had tonight off, but the Warriors will be playing Friday. Like, that's, you know, that's just
said,
how it is.
They said they were going to postpone that game, too.
Oh, did they?
Okay. According to what I saw, yeah.
All right, cool. So, I mean, but...
I'm glad that they get some time to grieve, because that's, yeah, that's got to be brutal, man.
And even then, like, how much is enough time, right? Like,
I know.
I can't imagine what their next game is. It's going to be bad. I mean, this is it's sort of like my rant on the NFL is that, you know, for an NFL game to be postponed and canceled, some guy almost had to die on the field. So, you know, we see guys get neck injuries all the time, concussions. You know, we see guys, you know, basically the corpse motion when they get concussed and games just go on as normal. You know, we have to have a guy basically, you know, have a heart attack on the field before they even stopped it. So, you know, but it's a job. They got to do it. And so, you know, feel for everybody in the NBA right now. Business did go on today in the NBA. You know, so we had games. You know, former Jazzman Donovan Mitchell and George Niang played very well. And we had a big trade in the NBA. Pascal Siakam, now a Pacer. I tweeted about this a little earlier today too. That depending on what side you're on, either the Pacers gave up way too much or the Raptors didn't get nearly enough. So, Alma, you know, you saw the trade today. We're entering trade deadline season. What do you think? Where do you fall?
I just think the timing is kind of funny, just because, like, the Pacers just recently played the Jazz. They did not do well against them in the paint, and so what do? They trade for a power forward. I think that that's funny and ironic, but I highly doubt that that's, like, the reason why
I was going to say, like, the Siakam, the Pacers rumors have been flung for a minute, haven't they? So
they have, but, like, they haven't been as strong. It was always more of, like, oh, Golden State might go ahead and try and pursue him. But then, like, it was almost immediately after they played the Jazz, the Pacers became, like, a more prominent name that was floating around for it. And I don't want to make assumptions for that, but at the same time, I'm like, it's kind of funny that that's when it started.
Yeah. I think a nice little coincidence. I mean, I think more than coincidence than anything, just because, I mean, we know kind of how that kind of works. You know, like, just
those kind of deals take a while to hammer out. So, I mean, it sounds like they've been talking about a deal for a while.
I'm sure they were probably close. See, I mean, we looked at, I mean, Alma's assignment today was to go look for some good Siakam highlights, and this year he just doesn't have that many. He hasn't been very good this year.
I had to go all the way back to November to find a game where he was prominent.
Yeah, prominent, dominant. Queen Nikki, dominant, prominent. It's me, Nikki and Ari. If you test me, they're sorry. You guys should see me do Bang Bang at karaoke. It's amazing.
I was told I wasn't allowed to do karaoke because I would show off. So
interesting. Who told you that?
You did. You and Sam.
What? When did I do that?
When I mentioned my degree and you were like, oh.
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Alma is he's got a voice. And so, you know.
Yeah, so I was told I wasn't allowed to do karaoke.
All right, I'm amending the rule. You're allowed to do karaoke after I do it.
Okay. After my song. I can live with that. Yeah,
I don't want to follow Alma. That's the thing. Okay, so... Jared, what do you think? Pacers get three first-round picks. I'm sorry, the Pacers give three first-round picks, and Siakam to the Pacers. Raptors get Bruce Brown, Jordan Nwora, Kiri Lewis Jr., and three first-round picks. So two 2024 picks and one 2026 pick. What do you think?
Well, it seems like a decent trade, like decent value. I don't know. I feel like, I mean, you guys are talking about Siakam not being very good this year. I can't tell how much of that is a product from him being not engaged or if just he's kind of fallen off a little bit. Yeah, I don't think
the Raptors know. I don't think the Pacers know. You know, there are people who, like, I can't believe, because it sounds like he didn't sign an extension yet.
And he went in without the guarantee of the extension.
So without the guarantee, like, he's excited to negotiate with the Pacers in the summer. So does that mean is it a rental? Possibly. So if it ends up being a rental, it ends up being a bad trade. Mm-hmm. If he ends up signing an extension and playing an all-star level, it ends up being a great trade for the Pacers. The problem is that as of this moment, January 17th, we don't know. You know, when the trade deadline comes up, this is to me like I admire the Pacers for taking the shot. I think it's 3 first round picks is a lot. Those you don't just go give those away. But if Pascal, they believe Pascal Siakam is, good enough to be an all star. If he's good enough to be like he was, a few years ago on that championship team, if they think that he can shore up some problems, if they think that he's the perfect running mate for Tyrese Haliburton, those 3 first-round picks are probably not going to mean that much. Are they taking chance? Yeah, the chances he might not re-sign. The chances that he might not be that guy. The chances that he just, he might just be average and you got there's a chance that you might pay the guy max money and it might not be worth it. But at least the Pacers, looking at the roster, looking that they have who they think, a lot of people think is a top 15-ish player in the NBA, in Tyrese Haliburton, at least they took a shot. They're taking a risk. It could blow up, but they're gambling, and I admire that. I think a lot of times, we've seen, and what bothers me is that we've seen the Jazz just try to stay the course. This is the podcast.
This is their Mike Conley trade, though, man. This is their Mike Conley trade. How much more do they really? I suppose they have Jairus Walker they could trade or something,
but they might think they are already good enough. They just needed their second piece. And if Pascal Siakam's that guy, and I'm not here to say that he is or isn't. I'm just saying the Pacers are at least taking a chance. Again, this is the podcast that drove the, trade Bojan trade for the last 2 years of his career in Utah. Because I want to see the Jazz take a shot, take a chance, shake things up a little bit. I don't know if it was right or wrong, but I would have felt better about the Jazz a couple years ago if they had just made a shakeup. They just never really shook anything up, So this is a shakeup for the Pacers. They're getting somebody that has shown at some point in his career that he could be good. will he get back that level? I don't know, but yeah. So, Alma, what do you think?
Well, so I think that it's interesting because, like you said, it's a shakeup. Mm-hmm. And who doesn't like a good shakeup? It keeps everybody on their toes. But what I think is going to make this really interesting is that you now have a starting lineup of Tyrese Haliburton, Buddy Hield, Benedict Mathurin, Pascal Siakam, and Miles Turner, which on paper doesn't sound half bad. And now you're going to go ahead and have another guy that is a proven scorer in Siakam that is going to draw attention. Granted, this season it hasn't looked as much that way as in years past, but now you have to account for him, which is now going to go ahead and put more freedom in Haliburton being able to go ahead and run off ball, maybe even potentially even having more assists in his game, which already sounds astronomical, but it's not too far out there if you ask me. I mean, again, because Miles Turner, bucket, Mathurin, bucket, Hield, bucket, Siakam, bucket, and then even Haliburton can go ahead and do his own thing.
And the reason people like Siakam is because he has the things that you can't teach, the body, the length, the archetype that like maybe he's Giannis, because of how long he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny because I thought it was a good gamble for the Pacers. It might turn out really badly for them if Siakam, because look, you're not just training for Siakam this year. You're training for Siakam, hoping to re-sign him, and he's going to demand a lot of money. Probably something like $40 million a year.
Fair.
So, but they're committing. They're going out there committing thinking that Siakam is their next guy. Because, and it's funny because I enjoy going to casinos. I enjoy, you know, playing table games. I do not gamble the way I want my NBA GMs to gamble, and that's by basically going balls to the wall, putting most of your chips, if not all your chips, into the center. I would never walk up to a roulette table and put $1,000 on black. You know, that's just not the way I would play. But I like it for the fact that these guys are going out there, putting their money out there, so to speak, their chips out there, to hit it big. You know, you're not gonna, if you ever gamble, you're very unlikely to make money unless you try to start spending money, and you're more than likely to lose it all. So I love when teams take these kind of gambles and take, because it's like, hey, look, if it fails, it fails, and you got to start over, and it sucks. NBA franchises, when they take huge gambles, I think these are the teams that are more successful building championship contenders than the ones that don't take the gambles. So, excuse me. Oh, goodness. Jared, any last thoughts on Pascal to yeah, I like having Alma here because he knows to pronounce all the players' names, so that's good. But final thoughts about Siakam, Raptors, Pacers? Like, who do you think kind of came out on top here?
No, I think I'm good.
Yeah. So, and, you know, and Raptors. I mean, obvious. They're who's left from that championship team? Nobody, right?
Nope. So, Siakam was the last person.
So, OG gone, Siakam gone. I like it for the Raptors. I like it for the Raptors. Like, maybe those aren't very high level, but you know, we've seen what the Jazz and the Thunder have done. You don't need high level picks. You just need a horde of picks, and you know, it'll help out in the long run. So. Yeah. Okay. So when we come back, we'll talk about some more, you know, speaking of shakeups, let's talk more shakeups when we get back. In the honor of Queen Taylor, we're going to shake it off, shake it up with Zendaya and, Bella Thorne here. For those who get that reference, I'm good on you.
What a career changes.
You don't see. Yes.
Like one really leaned into it.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The other one was like, I'm going to do it in a different
way. Yeah, exactly. So... excuse me. All right, so we're shaking it up. So it's kind of funny, Jared. I don't want to say that we're trendsetters, but I do want to say we're trendsetters. Last week we go and have, and look, am I saying were we the first people to talk about the Jazz being buying or selling? No, not at all. But I mean, were we the first? As far as I know, we were the first we were the first Utah Jazz podcast.
Nothing to sneeze at this pod.
We were the first Utah Jazz podcast to really talk about buying and selling, you know, a month before the trade deadline. And I swear, after we released that episode, and I know Andy Larson, Ben Anderson, those guys aren't listening to our podcast. But, man, we have beat writers talking about buying and selling. We have, you know, just fans on Twitter, you know, talking about buying and selling. I was like, okay, cool.
I believe,
like,
Bobby Marks is even talking Utah Jazz specifically.
Yeah, but Bobby Marks, hey, shout out to Bobby Marks.
Bobby Marks 100% follows us.
Yeah, he must love Bobby Marks, confirmed High Notes listener. Let's expand. So let's talk about the benefits of let's talk about the players yet, but let's talk about buying and selling. And What do you think the benefits are, Jared? I'll start with you. Of the Jazz being a, what do you want? You want to be buyer or seller?
Seller.
Okay. What are the benefits of the Jazz selling then?
To make the team better in 2 years than it is today.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Like, I mean, but even last week you said you weren't quite sure. You were hoping the Jazz would shake up the core.
I know, but the core isn't necessarily Olynyk and Clarkson necessarily.
Oh, you want to keep Clarkson?
I do, but at the same time, like, value trade yeah. him if there's more value.
Because, I mean, like we were doing these episodes in November. I don't want to say you were driving the Clarkson bus. You see what I did there?
Driving the bus over him, yeah.
Driving sure. the bus to trade Clarkson, but we have text messages of like in our group chat. You're like, hey, we need to, come up with the Jordan Clarkson trades, and I went back to like listen to some of those old episodes to get quotes of things that we said, and oh boy, Logan and I owe some apologies to Colin Sexton, even back then, I was like, hey, you know, if you're trying to get a high second round pick, would you trade Jordan Clarkson straight up for that? And you were like, yeah, sure. You know, top 35, top 40 pick, second round pick, so top 10 second round pick. And I was like, that seems low, right? But it was more of at that point. This was December 7th. This is like a couple days before, or it might have been the day of the dog shit. You know, masterpiece of dog shit. A comment. So it was a different time back then. It was crazy back then.
Yeah, we don't talk about those times.
Yeah, it was a crazy time. But yeah, because the Jazz can be sellers. I don't know exactly what they get them, but there are definitely some. To expand on what Jared said, you know, the Jazz have some assets that if they don't flip it for something in the future, you know, a Linick, Jordan Clarkson in some way. THT, possibly somebody Fontecchio. I thought there was somebody else that was expiring that I think the Jazz should be interested in trading. I'll look it up. There's some assets that if the Jazz don't make a move at the trade deadline, they're either going to have to re-sign at a higher price or let it walk for nothing. So that was the selling way. Alma, but what reasons why maybe the Jazz should? You want to talk about maybe just staying put with the way they are or buying?
So that's where I'm still a little hesitant, mm-hmm. just because they have been doing well as of late. And for some people, it's like, why ruin a good thing?
Right.
But at the same time, it's a 82-game season, and teams will eventually learn what...
We should have asked Jazz Jargon to argue counterpoint on this. He has many thoughts.
I know he does, yes. Good old Jazz Jargon.
But at the same time, like, I could go ahead and see a reason for buying in because, again, you're winning so many games. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was since just before Christmas, the Jazz have one of the best records in the NBA from that time frame. Mm-hmm. Yep. So
better than the Bucks, better than like the Nuggets.
And I think it's like right from the moment that the Jazz lost horribly to the Celtics, from that point on, like they have the best record in the NBA from that point. So you can go ahead and see why they would consider that option of being a buyer.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
or staying put.
But how much are you willing to give up in that point? Like, because, again, why ruin a good thing? So if you already know that you have something going good, especially with their starting lineup, which isn't ideal on paper, but then you have a bench unit that has so much starting experience to where when you do have your bench unit come in, they're just blowing them out of the water. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of what are you willing to give up at that point? Because even being a buyer, you still have to give something.
Yeah, you have to give something to get something else, and it'll change the dynamic. And it and part of the reason the first month felt so frustrating for Jazz fans, I feel like, is that they didn't understand what the dynamic was. Mm-hmm. And like, look back, and I'm like, I still don't know what that first month was for the Jazz. It seems like it was a lot of experimentation.
Yeah, it just felt like it was nonstop experimentation and what rotations work and who plays better with who. But for some reason, we just weren't finding an answer for anything.
Nothing looked like it looked like nothing meshed. Nothing out there was meshing. And, you know, a month ago and, you know, from like November 7th on, they figured it out.
Yeah, we found out John Collins and Walker Kessler should not share the floor.
and fans finally got what they wanted, and Chris Dunn finally getting to play, right. And
Jordan Clarkson to the bench. Like a lot of things that eventually worked together.
Somebody liked like a 3-year-old tweet of mine about me calling Chris Dunn a great defender, and I'm like, oh, I'm a smart guy.
SMRT. Yeah, Kristen. Yeah, like just, you know, it had to, you know, something that was seemed obvious to, you know, us on the podcast at least, like, you know, we had to figure out who to get out of the rotation. You know, it was THD. There you go. It was THD.
And now he looks like a lost, sad puppy on the bench.
Right. Well, Walker Kessler had to come off the bench. And you know, and I know Jazz fans are still mad about that, but it's working for the Jazz.
Yeah, and as long as it's working, why stop it?
But, you know, even if you don't have to give up much, like, you know, if at worst you're giving up Kelly Olynyk or whatever and just throwing Taylor Hendricks and whatever piece you're getting comes in, that's still going to shake it up. That's still going to mess up whatever mojo is going on with the Jazz. And Jared, what do you think the Jazz were, like, before game one, like preseason, what do you think the Jazz's, not the Jazz's, but the front office, what do you think there? I asked some of this earlier, but what do you think the Jazz's front office, like, main goal was for the year?
I think they were trying to figure out, like, what they have with their current roster and, like, how they need to restructure it, if they need to restructure it, who they need to re-sign, what kind of players they're need to be targeting going forward. I think their strategy was mostly to figure out a direction for the team going forward, because it didn't feel like at the beginning of the year they had a clear idea of what the group was going to look like going forward. So I think
disagree with that, because I'll disagree with this point just because, like, I think
You're probably right.
What I disagree with, like, is that the front office always had a plan, whether it was on the court or not. Like, and Alma, when I asked him this earlier, he pretty much mirrored my thought about the Jazz. And I've said this before, like, you know, preseason, I was like, the Jazz are asset gathering. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes me think they're going to be more sellers at the deadline, because even as good as it is right now, it doesn't stop the fact that, you know, they have a couple assets here that, like, they've had kept for this reason. You know, Kelly Olynyk's expiring deal. I mean, Zach Lowe and other people are saying the Jazz are probably going to get a high first-round pick for Kelly Olynyk, which doesn't make that much sense to me. Like, the teams that should be trading for Kelly Olynyk are the teams that are, like, the Celtics. They don't have the assets for it, but they don't have a way to do it. But, like, you know, teams that – the Bucks, right? The Bucks, who are, like, we're a Kelly Olynyk away from being a championship team. So I don't know how, you know, high first-round pick makes sense, but, you know, it is what it is. But let's say a first-round pick.
Yeah, what do they mean by high first? Are they saying, like, a lottery first? A late lottery?
I don't know. That's why I saw that.
From what I gathered, it was, like, lottery-protected type first.
Oh. So, well, which is still, I think that's good value for Kelly.
So, I mean, so if this lottery protected first, then it could be these it should be these teams, the teams that are one player away from making a difference the 76ers, the Bucks, the Celtics, right? Those type of teams. West, they'd probably be like the Nuggets or the Wolves, maybe. So, the Wolves can't give up a pick, though. So they are not able to trade a pick for a minute. So
I wonder why.
So the Jazz, so Kelly Olynyk, you know, is a valuable trade piece. Jordan Clarkson, we talked about this last time. Like, look, he's $25 million. If you don't trade him this year, it goes down to 15. You lose like $10 million worth of salary to trade, and that's helpful for when you're trying to get a bigger salary on your team. Are the Jazz? Is there somebody out there with a bigger salary the Jazz want? Like, I don't know. I don't know who it is. They might be. Like, look. Larry Markkinen and Chris Dunn have shown that Chicago, you know, maybe the Jazz are just trying to gather assets from that 2016 Bulls team and get Zach LaVine too. I don't know. You know? So, they're just trying to, like, hey, like, oh, yeah, here are people that didn't play very well under Jim Boylan. Let's bring them up to the Jazz and turn them around. So, again, that Jordan Clarkson asset, you know, it'll still be there next year. It just might not. And plus, you know, he's raised his value. You know, I think people would say, like, we talk about how people can't raise their value a lot, but I think Jordan Clarkson raised his value a little. Ironically, another person that raised his value, Colin Sexton, from the beginning of the year, I think this is what people talk about. Like, we need to play these guys, showcase them. There are people out there who are very pro trade Colin Sexton on this podcast, on the Twitterverse. I wonder what their thoughts are now about trading Colin Sexton. Jared, I mean, I'm sure that you and I were probably not would have been heartbroken if we traded Colin Sexton a month ago. But here we are, January 18th now. But thoughts about, this is one of those rare times where Colin Sexton has raised his trade value that people want to see. Thoughts about trading Colin Sexton?
Oh, man, that would be – I guess that would feel like a tough pill to swallow, you know? It feels like he just got everything going and just got everything.
I mean, the only reason I ask you that is because this is the same argument. Like, we need to play THT starter team. We need to play so-and-so, yada, 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 whoever it is, because we want to raise their trade value. Well, guess what? They did that with Colin Sexton. They raised their trade value, and now Jazz fans don't want to trade him.
And I just want to know what sparked it.
Oh, my God. I would love to ask him, like, dude, what happened?
Is it literally just, hey, we're going to start you, and just something lit a fire in him, and he was like, okay, I'm now going to play, like, the Colin Sexton that was on the U-17 USA team and was an absolute stud at Alabama? Like,
the one that won that game 3-on-5 in college?
Where was this? Like, was it really just that ACL injury? And then he was like, now he's fully healed?
And look, we know somebody that works personally with Colin Sexton. And here's the thing. David Locke, here's a shout-out now, came out, I think, yesterday, 2 days ago, and said something. He interviewed Will Hardy about it. And Will Hardy said I'm paraphrasing. Preconceived notions or had heard some stuff about Colin and was not coaching him the way that he should be coached. And it sounds like Will Hardy changed the way that he coached Colin Sexton.
And, really?
Something we never saw with Quinn Snyder. We saw a coaching adjustment.
But Will Hardy, he came out in an interview, said like, hey, I needed to coach him differently. And maybe as simple as that. Maybe Will Hardy just changed the way he needed the coach.
Which that's so good to hear.
Yeah.
Like, again, it's something we didn't get with Quinn Snyder with the Utah Jazz. It's just nice to go ahead and hear that a coach openly went out to the media and said, I was wrong. I changed it. And look at what the product became. Yeah. So, it's
it's also nice having a coach that doesn't have Coke face.
Yeah,
give it a couple years.
I kind of miss it, really.
So, you miss it.
Yeah, I mean,
you're like, you got that Olsen twins shine.
But like, to be fair, Will Hardy has some really good mean mugs. So those are like, I mean, the GIF gifts alone from Quinn Snyder and Will Hardy's has top three coaching GIF gifts. So
shoot, when I was archiving today, I not gonna lie, I put some in there.
Yeah, like, I mean, just great faces, you know. So Colin Sexton, and this is, I mean, I was listening to an old episode, Logan and I, like, Logan said something like, it doesn't ever feel good. Logan had AK syndrome with Colin Sexton. He's like, it never feels good coming out of Colin Sexton's hands when he shoots. And, I believe my words were, I want to like Colin Sexton, but he's making it very hard. And it's no longer the case. I don't want to speak from Logan, but I'm sure that Logan actually tweeted out that he needs to apologize to, I believe, Chris Dunn and Colin Sexton. And, this is my God, like, the player that we had this kid, and when Colin Sexton was traded here, he was like, oh, Colin Sexton's him. And this is me just being old. And I'm like, him? I was like, okay. Like, to me, him is LeBron. To me, him is Giannis. To me, him is, those really top guys. I said,
like, the guys that can take over the game.
I said, if Colin Sexton is him, there was like 100.
He's hits. Him.
Yeah, yeah. And last night, like, Colin hit a shot or something. I go, damn, I think Colin Sexton's him. that's partly because, like, partly is because I don't really get, like, the vernacular, right, of kids nowadays. So I hear him, like, what does him mean? Like, again, him to me means like top five. So if
Timmy Turner.
Yes. If him means like top five, then maybe, no, he's not, but.
No, I think it's just like, like he has those flashes, those spark that really. It just makes you go like, damn, that's a good basketball player. Like,
and look, if there's 100 hymns, Colin Sexton is definitely one of the 100 hymns in the NBA.
One of the 100 hymns?
But, like, I mean that in a good way. Like Colin is.
I know, it's just funny, 100 hymns.
Right.
Are you gonna get him out of the hymn book?
I will say, I still feel a little nervous with his jump shot, though. Not that it's not going to go in, but, like, I do not like his form. Like, yes, it ends up going in there.
Wow.
But it almost looks robotic, and especially, like, when it starts out at his hip, I'm just like, it's almost like a center's mentality. When they get their rebound, they go right back down.
I've said this for a couple months now. Like, I don't enjoy Khan dribbling into a three. Mm-hmm. But his catch and shoot threes, I think it's going in almost every single time.
So I will say, next game that the Jazz play tomorrow against the Oklahoma City Thunder, I want you to watch his jump shot, and you'll see like his little hitches. And like for anyone who plays 2K, like that would be great. Like you know your hitch when you have to release. But when I'm sitting there watching it, I'm like, there is so much loading time on that thing, and it blows my mind that there's defenders that aren't able to get out to in time, but it goes in. So
we saw last year, like, you know, he showed us a little bit before he was quote unquote injured. The young bull stuff, the stuff that was like, he was the number 8 pick for the stuff that Cleveland saw.
Mm-hmm.
And, we saw a little bit of that last year, but like, okay, it looked a lot like, and you know, we said this on the podcast too, bad player or a good player on a bad team stats. This year, I'm like, we're seeing that, but we're seeing, it's even in more control. Like, he drives in, and, like, he goes in there with reckless abandon sometimes. But I'm like, he makes adjustments in there. I'm like, he's still making really tough layups, taking contact, getting to the line. Anyway, Colin Sexton, I bring him up because of the Will Hardy stuff. But because, again, this is what people wanted THT to do. But, if THT did this, they would not want to trade him. It's hilarious. I don't want to call fans fickle, but I do want to point out that I called this, like, you know, months ago. Like, if you want THT to play well, he has to play well enough that you want to trade him still and not keep him. Colin Sexton's done the exact same thing. Like, he's played so well that nobody wants to trade him anymore. And it's fair. Like,
because why would you?
Right.
Like, he is a valuable asset. Right? Yeah. Like, beforehand, it was like, okay, why'd we sign him to this extension? He hasn't proven himself yet. That whole first year, you were just like, what is this guy doing? And then you come into this year and you're like, okay, with how big of that contract he has, and we have so many guards on this roster, like, you want to get rid of him.
And this goes back to the Pascal, like, if Pascal Siakam does that in Indiana, he goes back and shows that he can do that. Because I'm not saying he can't do that. I don't know if he can. I have no idea. I had no idea Colin Sexton could do this. If you had told me at the beginning of the year somebody would offer a first-round pick for Colin Sexton, I said, that's probably a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You probably, you know, 2 first-round picks for him, like, oh yeah, cool, yeah, like, make that trade. Now you tell me that, I'm like, that's not enough. It's not enough,
especially with what he's been able to prove over the last month.
He's got a very good contract. He shows that he can be a very good player. Jared, I've been working under the assumption that Larry Markkanen is not a number one in the NBA. I don't think he can be the best player on the championship team. That's why I mean number one.
That's my assumption as well.
Is it still your assumption? Okay. Alma, do you believe Alma's giving me a look here? You know, we've never gotten your thought on this.
If you would have asked me this during the off season, I would be agreeing with you guys. Mm-hmm. But given the current span, and again, it's the exact same time frame that the Jazz just something clicked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Larry
started playing again.
Yeah, he started playing again.
He was out for like 3 weeks.
And now he's starting to create his own shots. He's showing his ball handling ability. He's able to go ahead and facilitate. And shoot, he went ahead and got his first career Player of the Week award, which he went ahead and said on record, we should expect more. And, I mean, if he's doing that, which he never did last season, again, that was his first time doing it, what's saying that he's not going to be an all-star again this year? So he has to go ahead and make that jump, because everybody was saying, oh, he's a good second option. But he is proving right now to a team that is now in play-in contention and arguably, I think 1-2 games out from being secured in a playoff spot.
Yeah.
And so you're telling me
better today with the Mavericks loss. So
you're now telling me that this guy is just playing phenomenally, and everybody's like, we want to have that guy for him to be your number two. Like, you're telling me that you're not going to utilize him as potentially a number one? Because I understand there are a lot of teams in this league that have their guy, and it's no secret that Golden State, they went ahead and put out there where there's rumors saying that they want a 7-footer that can shoot. My response was, take Kelly Olynyk, because he's a 7-footer who can shoot. But Lowry, he's just proving that he was slept on, and he is doing good for lack of better terms, a bad team. But
the rest of career, you guys want Jared, Alma, SGA, or Lowry?
See, that's not fair. Because I would take SGA, because okay. I want the guard play.
No, that's fair. Jared?
Yeah, SGA.
Okay. Devin Booker.
I would take Lowry.
Okay.
Jared? Oh, I'd probably go Booker.
Anthony Edwards.
I would take Anthony.
Okay. Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler just for this year. How about this? Jimmy Butler or Lowry? To win a championship.
To win a championship, I'd probably take Jimmy Butler, and it's only because of his experience and the fact that he's been there. He hasn't won it, but he's been there. Lowry, it would kind of be like a lost puppy situation. Like, he could get you there, in my opinion, as a number one option, but I don't think he would know what to do at that point, and it would end up failing.
Jared, I'm Jimmy Buckets or Lowry Buckets?
Probably Jimmy Buckets.
John Morant. Okay, no, this is back to career. John Morant.
I would take Lowry.
Too much baggage.
pew pew. LeBron James.
Washed.
Yeah, I'd probably take Lowry also.
Washed.
I wouldn't say washed, but I would take washed. Lowry. Because Lowry can go ahead and give you games.
Halliburton.
I would take Hallie.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because again, I want the guard play.
I'm gonna pass on that. I don't know.
All right, so you take Hallie. Jalen Brown.
Oh, I would take Markkanen. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
If you said Tatum, I might have a little bit more of a discussion, but over Jalen Brown,
I skipped Tatum. I figured Tatum was pretty much guaranteed over Lowry.
Yeah,
I skipped Jokic. I just kind of went.
Okay.
Down.
Okay.
All right. So there's Lowry, top 20 player. Top 15 player.
Yeah, I feel like he's earned
15.
It.
Do I think so? So for me, being top 15 and being top like 7 there's a gap. It's a sizable gap. It's not a small gap. It's a sizable gap. To go from like Jokic to who did I say? Let's see.
LeBron.
No, I think LeBron's still up there. I don't have him watched. But I think Tyrese Halliburton and Giannis, there's a
gap.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not saying that Tyrese cannot get there.
Because Giannis's physicality is just something, like we stated earlier, it's something that can't be taught.
Right.
But also, like, Giannis has had the ability to be able to almost somewhat do a little bit from 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. Halliburton's not going to be able to do a little bit in 1 through 5.
So I guess this is my tiers. So Halliburton's in a tier. Giannis is in a tier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I hope just Arnie from Idaho is listening. I am moving Lauri Markkanen away from DeMontis Sabonis and Julius Randle tier. He is now.
You had Julius Randle in that same tier?
Yeah, well, the next tiers are, not very far away from each other.
I need Randle down.
I mean, if you look at accolades and stuff, Randle has more All-NBA All Stars. It's not a perfect system, but like the C tier or whatever, those guys are all in there. It's a lot of like
Randle now is like Tingus Pingus for me.
So Lauri Markkanen is now, I believe, in this Damian Lillard, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, SGA, Tyrese Halliburton tier. The guys that I don't think by themselves could win a championship today. But you pair those guys with a solid, very solid number two, De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis type pairing, I think that's a championship team. So Larry Markkanen has moved up for me. So
I can't argue with that. I like that explanation.
These are how I do my cheers. And so, like Giannis, I think you put him on any team.
I'm going to need you to write it out. As time goes on, I kind of want to have it written out.
Giannis, shift. Steph, LeBron, guys that are just, they're dudes by themselves. You can pair them with anybody, they'll be fine. But then we have the SGA, the Tyrese Halliburton, the Lowry Markkanen now. Kawhi Leonard used to be top-tier guy. He moved down because of injuries. Paul George has always been that guy that's been so dynamic. By himself, though, never got there. He always had to have somebody else. So that's why. So Lowry has moved up from the Sabonis tier.
In your opinion?
Yes, to me. And I had been working on the assumption that the Jazz needs to get a number one behind Lowry. Now, I'm this whole year, I'm switching my assumptions that, okay, they have the 1A. They have the 1B.
Mm-hmm.
They need to go get a very high-level 2A. A Donovan Mitchell is a 2A or a 1B to go with Larry Markkanen. They need to get somebody else in that tier.
So that's why I was kind of upset with the OG trade.
Mm-hmm.
Because personally, I felt like quickly could have unlocked something. And, I mean, he's been kind of showing through Toronto, and his value.
That's
and that he deserves to go ahead and get money when that time comes. But I've been very high on quickly since, I think two seasons ago. I've been quickly is something. Whether or not the Knicks can go ahead and unleash that for him, who knows? But I believe that he could go ahead and do something for a franchise one day, whether that's Utah, New York, if they ever decided to unlock anything. But now he's with Toronto, he's
he'll be fine
showing there. Off. Yeah. He's showing that he's a little bit better than RJ Barrett.
I think we all knew that. I mean, nobody here was going to argue that.
Yeah, we all knew that. It was just a matter of can we go ahead and see it in action.
Jared, you're still – did my Lowry Markkanen conversation convince you any to move him up? Or where are you on Lowry's – 1A, 1B, 2, what do you think?
I'm thinking 2.
Okay. So so Jazz still need a 1 to go with Lowry?
He could maybe still move up. I don't know.
Okay, that's that. Okay, different question then. Do the Jazz already have the other two, the other person that they compare with Lowry? On the roster right now. Alan just gave me that's an interesting question.
I haven't really thought about that too much.
Well, there you go. So this is what I'm here for. This is why I do this podcast.
Why, thank you.
Yes. Is there, I mean, I think we have two candidates.
With Keontae being one and the other being...
you know it. Come on. Say
it. Taylor?
No. No, not Taylor.
I think the other one is right on his shirt right now.
No.
No, nope, not him.
Not Clarkson. Nope. Colin Sexton.
Well, you were saying two. I was thinking two names.
Sorry. Colin Sexton and Jared got the other one, Keontae George. Okay. Are those guys twos in the next year? George, maybe George next 2 or 3 years.
I was going to say George is going to need more time, in my opinion. But if Sexton keeps on doing what he's doing, I wouldn't. Put it past him.
Right. Confidence level that is either George or if the thing is that if you don't need to get those guys that you already have it, then you just let George and Colin cook and then until they're ready to go with Lowry. How confident are you that it's either Colin or George? Because here's the thing. If you're the GM, if you're Danny Ainge, if you're Justin Zanuck, you kind of have to make that decision.
Yeah, you have to start making calls, and you have to go ahead and put out feelers.
Because you're not going to trade for, maybe you think Zach LaVine is a reclamation project. Maybe you think you can unlock Zach LaVine, but you would not do that if you think Colin or Keontae George will be better because it'll be cheaper. It might take you a minute longer, but you have them on your roster. You don't need to go get anybody else if you have it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know. My confidence has risen, obviously.
Agreed. I'm in that same boat.
Save us, Jesus. But save us, Jeebus, is what I meant to say. But
build us an ark.
Right. But like, if Lauri Markkanen has moved into this 1A conversation for me, is the next guy already on the roster? Is Colin Sexton the next guy? Is Keontae George the next guy? And if that's then here's the thing. Then my buying, selling, all that stuff has to change.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we have a month to figure that out, because if I think the Jazz team, because if you have two guys, if you think it's Colin and Lauri, and those are the guys that are going to lead you there, then you don't need to buy your number two. You go buy role players. You keep it and you let it go. So yeah, that's the question I ask. Is Keontae George, is Colin Sexton, are those the twos, Jared? Are those the next guys that you can pair with Lauri? Jared fell asleep on me. So, are you snoring, Jared?
Am I snoring?
Yeah, we were hearing some very heavy breathing there. We thought we lost you for a second.
But Jared, what do you think? Is it? I mean, look, I asked you 2-3 weeks ago. You know, Keontae George. I'm not ready to jump on board as Keontae George being the next guy. But you were close. You were close, saying like, you know, we've seen some better play. So
I want to go all in, baby.
Keontae George. Okay.
I'm pushing those chips to the end of the table.
That was too central for me, and I do not like it. But drive the bus on your own time, sir. Okay, so yeah, so you're in on Keontae George. Because look, if Keontae George is the next Donovan Mitchell, then God, you're golden. You know, you got Lauri Markkanen, who's so Lauri Markkanen is so close to being prime Kristaps Porzingis, but better.
What they wanted Porzingis to be.
Right. Yeah. I don't think Porzingis is an awful player, but Lauri Markkanen is doing it better, right? Seven-footer, you can shoot threes, a little more physical, a lot more physical, I should say. Just has that package. And those are the things that, you know, that's what separated, you know, LeBron, Curry, Antetokounmpo, like Lauri Markkanen's archetype, body type, all that stuff. That stuff you can't teach. So if that's what propels him to the next level, and then your next guy is Keontae George, you know, if Keontae George is Jamal Murray to Jokic, then you're there. Mm. You're there. You know,
if Colin's, they proved it works.
Right. If Colin is that second piece, say like Jokic is so good that I think Jamal Murray is probably near that Julius Randle tier, maybe a little slightly below Julius Randle. But Jokic was so good that was enough. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I think this is an interesting question that we should all think about. Like, if the Jazz, if you're going to play GM, you have to think about, do we have the pieces? Do we have the stuff in-house right now?
And I think that we'll kind of have like a better answer by the end of the month.
Right.
Because, yeah. I mean, we'll see more gameplay, but I think that Utah playing on the road for 6 straight games will definitely let us know, like, are we confident enough to win when we're not at home? Because, again, like, they went, what was it, like a 6-game stretch with tomorrow being the final game?
Uh-huh.
And they're doing great, but they're doing it behind their own fans. You're not really seeing a lot of convincing road wins outside of, like, Milwaukee. And then even fans will go ahead and say, yeah, well, we went ahead and beat these teams that weren't at full capacity, like say like the 76ers, they didn't have Embiid,
I get that.
The Bucks didn't have Lillard. Like really the only convincing win during that stretch that fans will go ahead and back up is going to be the Nuggets.
Right.
Which they went ahead and played at full power, and you had Collins playing against Jokic at the center position. So during that stretch on the road, you have some good teams, you have some bad teams. So are you going to play down to your bad teams? Because, I mean, it's what, the Wizards and the Hornets that you're going to be taking on there?
The last road trip they had, they beat the Pistons, they beat the Raptors, and they beat the Spurs at home or on the road.
So but again, you're talking at 3 under 500 teams.
But you just said the bad teams. I'm saying, so they've shown that they've beaten the bad teams on mm-hmm. the road. Okay, I mean, look, another test.
But that's what I'm saying. It's another long test.
Right.
So if they can go ahead and do it again, that's where I would go ahead and evaluate what do we have here that we want to keep here. But if Utah falls off this trend of winning pretty much any game that comes their way, what do you go ahead and consider now? What trades are maybe a little more lenient? What packages are you willing to go ahead and be more forgiving and maybe take less just so that you can go ahead and ship them off and get a value of some kind?
See, so that's why, like, me as a GM, like, if I was a GM, I would not even care what happens the next month right now. Like, my packages, you know, are probably with the same packages that I wanted at the beginning of the year. Again, you know, if I'm asking myself, all right, cool, if I maybe the thing that's changed is like, okay, maybe I do think Colin or George are something that you keep long term no matter what, because I would not feel like right now, again, like I said, I probably would have traded Colin Sexton probably a couple round first round picks in the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. Now it doesn't seem like enough because I'm so confident that Colin Sexton is, you know, Jamal Murray plus or De'Aaron Fox ceiling, like whatever tier you have De'Aaron Fox in, however high you have him there. And then because if you believe you have that, then yeah, like you don't give that up. You know, it doesn't, mm-hmm. doesn't matter what assets you get back because you're trying to get that you know, if you think Constance could be better than Donovan Mitchell, how crazy would that be? You traded
Donovan Mitchell. I don't know how Salt Lake would handle that. I mean, they had a mural for that man.
Right. And
so are we going to go ahead and put Colin Sexton on that same bridge?
if Colin Sexton and Lauri Markkanen turn into, you know, the next duo in Utah, that a dynamic duo, and like they come from the same trade, my God, plus other things, like, hey, people are talking about it right now already on the Twitter about Colin Sexton being better than Donovan. So maybe that's a little far for me, but. Hey,
I wouldn't put it that far yet.
Right, but it's in the realm of possibilities, I think. Like,
as long as he keeps on playing the way that he has been playing, like it's not too absurd. But if we go ahead and take his entire time in Utah, not a conversation.
If Colin Sexton does this again next year, he's a 2025 All-Star, you know? So I'm just saying, so... Anyway, that was a fun conversation. I mean, you know, we started with a little tragedy, which is always sad. But I love doing
the news and on a high note.
And on a high, yeah. I like when the Jazz are exciting to talk about. Jared driving the bus as always, Jared, which is funny because when we started this podcast, that was like the metaphor we always used that since I was hosting. Right, I was driving the bus. Like that's all I was doing is just driving the bus. And now you physically drive a bus. For a mm-hmm. living, and then, you know, metaphorically do it in the bedroom. So, I'm glad that you got that moniker now. So, Jared, anybody you want to throw into the? Anyone you want to throw into the produce corner here?
Let's see.
I have 69 tabs open.
Nice. What do we got?
First of all, Utah Jazz history. She's been doing great stuff on IG, Instagram. She's also now on Twitter. She's trying to get followers. I'm sure she'll do just fine.
Oh yeah, especially given the content that she has, the people she's already interacting with. Like I have zero doubts that she'll be thriving.
Yes.
On Twitter,
she'll be doing just and she follows the high notes now. So. Yay. I would shout out Jazz as earlier for at least, you know, he had tweeted something about, you know, the coach before and how it's kind of weird to not have the game. He came back later and was like, okay, he ended up with his mistake, and I thought that was really nice. So really cool.
Shout out to Jazz fanatic Wesley Jones. Always a good follow. Always got smart Jazz takes.
And anybody, Alma? Alma actually blew up my Twitter yesterday because he attributed some help. Look, I just mentioned it worked out well. I just mentioned that we had internships here, mentioned to my boss, He put Alma, you know, made sure to get Alma on the radar. But it was Alma's hard work. Alma did the interview. Alma did it all. Alma is now a intern for a local news station in Utah. Really cool. Starting his journalism journey, had a very busy first day here.
And to be honest, like I was surprised with how much I did. Like I did not expect to do as much. And I even said it to you and Sam earlier today. I was like, oh, I expected to just sit here in shadow the whole time I was here. Or eventually, like you joked on Twitter, like, oh, go get our coffees, go get our food. I was expecting something similar to that, but instead I'm sitting here cutting video. Yep. I'm putting stuff together. I actually had stuff on the broadcast today, went ahead and, what do you say? It's not script writing, but...
shot sheeting. Yeah.
Shot sheeting.
Which is essentially giving the anchor... what's going to happen so they know how to say it. So Alma's now, you know, he's basically a full-time employee. He has to work part-time, but he's basically an employee.
But so, but again, like, I did so much today, and I was like, holy cow.
You got 3.5 more months of that. So
yeah, and to be honest, like, if that's, like, the beginning, like, I'm, like, really excited to go ahead and see what else there is.
I mean, Jared, did you ever do an internship in school?
No, unfortunately.
Like, I mean, I did... My internship was, God, guys, 25 years ago. No, it was like 20 years ago. But you know, I was exaggerating. But 18 years ago, we didn't get paid, number one. But we still have to put a lot of hours in.
I'm getting that money.
Yeah. So like, we pay interns now, which is cool. I mean, hey, look, it's cool if we get to pay interns. But also, when you're a paid intern, you are now an employee. So you can learn how to work. So,
HR even told me that.
Yep. So, which is cool. I'm glad that we are able to get that going. Thank you for listening to Hitting the High Notes, part of the Believe Network, with Bet Online. You know, we appreciate you guys. You know, go follow, go to Distance 49 on Twitter. He busses, he barkers. Yeah, but you bust and barkers.
Not anymore.
Oh, not anymore. Well, which is funny because like you drive the bus, so you could drive the bus on bussing a barker. But Alma stuff, he does, you know, he's putting articles out for The Hive. Alma being at Alma Bean 23, he's doing his own podcast at Highlighter Highlights. I'm assuming this is a little more fun talking to somebody.
Oh, yeah, because the thing is, like, especially when I'm doing Highlighter Highlights, and to be honest, I've kind of been slacking because I'm like, okay, what are we going to do with who?
Right.
What are we going to talk about? And then I've also been focusing on, like, trying to get the internship and stuff.
Don't ever, like, have high notes, like, get in the way of that, you know? Like, just...
Well, and I'm sitting there because, like you said, it's a little more fun to, like, actually talk to people where when I'm doing Highlighter Highlights, I'm like, okay, let me go ahead and type up my script. Let me go ahead and get my stats. Because, to be honest, like, in my opinion, it kind of comes off a little monotone when I'm doing that one. And, like, I would like to go ahead and show off my personality a little bit, but it's kind of hard when I'm just talking to myself.
And Jared knows, like, I like hosting. I like asking questions. When a guest says, hey, good question, that's, like, biggest compliment to me because I'm like, okay, cool. That means we're talking about something that's thought-provoking. So that's what we do here. So.
And it's like I want to elaborate, but like if I'm talking by myself, how can I be like, hey, Alma, how did this happen? Oh, funny you asked. I've been thinking about this the whole time. Not like I just haven't typed it out on my computer screen here.
I've done two solo podcasts. Man, it was rough episodes.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I'm recording for a really long time, and then it's like, oh, it's only been 12 minutes.
Like we're going past an hour here. So
yeah, and for me, like, granted, I'm sure Jared or yourself might feel differently, but I'm like, yeah, I can sit here and talk. I still got time. And then I look at the clock. I'm like, oh, shit.
Jared Logan, we've done 2-hour podcasts before. It's not popular, but we've
short
talked.
Short attention spans.
Yeah. Like, you know, people see an hour and 8 minutes. They're like, screw this. We're out. So we try to limit it. That's a little podcast trick for you guys. So, all right, cool. Well, you know, if you want to drive the bus with Jared, let him know. Go to Distance 49. You can highlight the highlighters, highlighter to the highlights with Alma Bean. He will have your item of the game picture on his Twitter every game. So check it out. And then again, I'm at Hoop Transfer Man, and we'll see you guys next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.